23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. And verses 8 to 12. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 8 to 12.
These are the names of the mighty men whom David had: Joseph, Bahibeth, the Tabmonite, chief among the captains, was called Adino the Ezinite, because he had killed 800 men at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines, who had gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated. He rose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Harihi. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines. But he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory.
Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight I want to entitle the message, Defend Your Portion. Look at somebody and say, Defend Your Portion. Amen. 2 Samuel 23 speaks about the mighty men of David. Some pretty tough names are mentioned there. But what I want to highlight is the 11th verse about a man called Shammah, who stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord gave a great victory. Amen. Defend your portion. Whether it be your joy, whether it be your progress, whether it be your marriage, your business, your life, you need to learn to defend it. Why? Because we have an enemy who attacks it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sometimes you experience God's blessing in your life. You pray for something and God gives it to you. Sometimes you experience the healing power of God in your life. Sometimes God gives you a good marriage, a call, a ministry, whatever. And then you lose it. God doesn't want us to lose what He has given us. He wants us to defend that which He has given us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Your portion. Defend your portion. What is your portion? One is your destiny, as God has determined it. In the life that God has determined for your life, there is honor, there is significance, there is value. He's got a plan over your life, a spiritual inheritance He wants to give you. But if you don't defend that which God gives you, the devil will come to your mind and say, you are useless. The devil will come and say, God has no plans over your life. And many a time, believers, people who know the word of God, people who belong to Jesus, go through this thought pattern. Hey, I don't think I can amount to anything in the Lord. I don't think God has got a plan over my life. I don't think there is any purpose of God for my life. Who said that? That's a lie of the enemy. God has got a place of significance and honor for your life. Praise the Lord. Amen. What does it mean by your destiny? Number two, your God-given gifts and talents, your calling, your talents. Sometimes in the natural, you're talented. Your calling, it could be spiritual. The gifts that he has given you. Remember the Satan, he tries to deny us from ever exercising and moving in the gifts which the Lord has given us. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Amen. But you need to learn to defend that which God has given you. The third thing is your opportunities that God brings along into your life. Sometimes God gives you an opportunity to witness for Him, to stand up for Him, or an opportunity for your business opens up, or for your career. Sometimes you need to recognize that which God has sent into your life, and you need to not only receive it, but learn to defend when the enemy comes against it. Are you with me? Amen. The fourth one is your achievements or your successes. God gives you a relationship with Him. Just imagine that. That which you value the most in your life should be your relationship with Jesus. Now, when you have a relationship with Jesus, let me tell you, the enemy will try to attack it. But you need to learn to stand your ground like Shammah did, defend that which God has given you. Amen. It could be a good name. It could be a profession, a job that you prayed God gave it to you. You're pretty successful in it. And suddenly you don't know what happens. There's a change of law in the land, or somebody tries to do something against it, or you have competitors coming up, whatever. But let me tell you, if God has given you something, keep your eyes upon the Lord, defend that which God has given you. It could be a business. It could be your marriage. Are you with me? It says the Philistines, who were the adversaries of Israel, came against this man called Shammah. That word adversary means who works against you or opposite to you. In your life, you will find there'll be people who don't like you. People who will work against you. People who will work opposite you. The adversary. Sometimes it can be spiritual beings of demonic powers. Sometimes it can be human beings which the devil uses. Are you with me tonight? But you need to learn to defend that which God has given you. Here is a man who had a field. It was his field. He worked hard in that field. The crops came up, lentils. The crops came up. He was about to reap the crop. The harvest had come, and then the enemy attacked. He didn't invite the enemy. He didn't invite the problem. You don't have to do that. But how many of you recognize in your life, if you're honest, anytime you are on the verge of a harvest of your blessing or on the point of your breakthrough, it looks like the devil comes to mess it up. But tonight we're going to have victory. Amen. Some of you are going to receive a supernatural grace, an anointing from... I was asking the Lord for a supernatural anointing, a grace that will cause you to defend that which God has given you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The enemy will no longer play in your lives, will no longer play with the inheritance that God has given you. You will experience complete and lasting victory in that which God has given you. Somebody say amen to that tonight. Two things happened here in this field. One, Everybody left. Your friends will leave you. When the enemy comes, one, the enemy came, two, the friends left. This man, Shammah, was left alone. Are you with me? He was left alone. There'll be times in your life, no matter how much you have or what you have or which family you come from or what's your background or which church you belong to, there'll be times in your life when there is an attack. People who thought, whom you thought who would stand with you will leave you. Praise the Lord. But don't be afraid. It looks like every problem one after the other has come. It is intimidating. It is challenging. You feel overworked, stressed out. It looks like the enemy is attacking from all sides. But at the end of the day, you will be singing a song. You will be shouting out God's victory. For if the Lord is with you, who can be against you? At the end of the day, at the end of your life, you will be the one who is standing on victorious ground. You will hold your patch. You will hold your ground. You will stay on faithful in the Lord. Let never the enemy intimidate you. The victory is yours in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This man could have also run away. Are you with me? He could have run away when the attack came and said, maybe I'll go and buy a field somewhere else and start a work somewhere else. Good excuse. Or he could have sat there and said, why me? Every time somebody goes through a problem, somebody is challenged. It is, you know, I've seen as a pastor, time and again, people coming to me and say, Pastor, why me? And sometimes I ask them, why not you? Why not you? Who told you that on life, on this planet Earth, everything would be so comfortable that you would face no problem, no challenge? The Bible doesn't say it. Where did you get that idea? The Bible very clearly says you will have opposition, you have an enemy, the adversary, the devil, but the victory is yours. You will have challenges, but God is tonight is bestowing upon you a grace that will cause you to defend that which rightfully belongs to you. But if as long as you keep asking, why me? Why me? You can't take a proactive stance. Are you with me? Why is this happening to me? Why one problem after the other? Why is it that a troop has come against me? There is a marriage struggle that you go through. Here is a financial dip that you're going through. A physical problem comes through. Someone dear to you backstabs you. All this happens. What do you do? You stand your ground, for God is with you. Praise the Lord. I don't know if anybody has gone through that. Sometimes you're totally outnumbered in the different problems that you face. Sometimes I get up in the morning and says, oh Lord, my God, you're so scared to face the day because boom, from all sides. But over years, anybody whom God has given destiny, a portion, an inheritance, let me tell you, one thing that they have learned along the line is there comes a time when you can't count on somebody else and you can't say, it is because of that person, nobody's there by my side. But you got to take rightful ownership, stand in the center of the field. That means to take rightful ownership. I'm going to handle this. Everything is against me, but I'm going to stand my ground and defend that which God has given me. And you stand there and the Lord will fight for you. The victory is yours when you stand your ground in the name of Jesus. But as long as you are blaming somebody, questioning yourself, you cannot have the victory. Are you with me? You need to learn. This man stood his ground. He took the center of the field. Everybody else has run away. Can you imagine that? He took the center of the field. The troops have come against him from all sides. He takes the center of the field. This field belongs to mine. Praise the Lord. Time and again, as a pastor, sometimes you face problems and things come against you. Spiritual sometimes. Sometimes people whom the devil turns up, and then you have to take your stand. Sometimes you go on an extended fast. Sometimes you Extend a time of prayer. Sometimes you gotta go on your knees, whatever it takes, hold on to God's word, but you stand your ground. Praise the Lord. You stand your ground. Hallelujah. You stand your ground and the victory is yours. Why does the enemy attack you? Four reasons. One, because you are not on his side. Look at somebody and say, I'm not on the devil's side. Praise the Lord. Amen. Did he say that? Then he'll attack you. Because you are different. If you are like everybody else will be nice to you. But you stand out in the crowd. Boom. That's when the attack comes. Why does he attack you? The number two reason. Because you are producing results. This man had a field. He raised up crops. Are you with me? He had results. Pandu Malayalathil parayum. Maavulla alla maange alla maangiyulla maavilullu kallere veerullu. Sometimes you wonder, why do I go through so many problems? Let me tell you, that is a sign for you to sit back and say, I gotta thank God for every blessing. Oh my God, somewhere I am fruitful. Somewhere God has blessed me. Hallelujah. Somewhere He has helped me. He has brought me thus far. That's the time you thank the Lord for the blessing. Whenever you want to do something with your life, that's the time the enemy attacks you. Are you with me? You want to grow up spiritually? You want to do something for the Lord? You want to come up in life? Whatever way. That's the time. The other day I had a pastor who told me, you know, he was holding a meeting and a newspaper person phoned him up. Phoned his office. And said, are you holding this meeting in this particular area? This happened in Cochin. If you hold that meeting there, the gospel meeting, we're going to write bad things about you in the newspaper. So this guy who picked up the phone said, the pastor is not here. When the pastor comes, I'll tell him. The pastor is a fantastic man of God. He came. He said, which is that number who they called up from? The newspaper people, he called up. He took that news phone, called them back, and he said, this is Pastor so-and-so. Did you call the site? Yes. Are you holding a meeting in this place? If you do, we'll be writing all bad things about you. And this guy in Malayalam, you know, he's a tough guy. He said, edam ninu kezhudan ullada ezhudada. പിറ്റേവസം നീ ചത്തിരിക്കും. ഞാൻ അലമ്പി ഫോർട്ട് കൊച്ചി ബീച്ചിൽ കൂടെ തെണ്ടി നടന്നപ്പം നീ ഒന്നും എഴുതിയില്ല. എന്തെങ്കിലും നന്നായിട്ട് ജീവിക്കാൻ ദൈവത്തിന് വേണ്ടി എന്തെങ്കിലും ചെയ്യാന്നോർത്തപ്പം നിനക്ക് എഴുതണമെന്നോ? നീ എഴുതാനുള്ള എഴുതിക്കോ. പ്രൈസ് ദ ലോർഡ്. എന്റെ കൂടെ ദൈവം ഉള്ളത് കൊണ്ട് എനിക്ക് വേണ്ടി ദൈവം പ്രവർത്തിച്ചോളൂ എന്ന് പറഞ്ഞു. മറ്റപ്ര പാസ്റ്റർ തന്നെയാണോ ഇത്? അതെ. ഇത്ര ടഫായിട്ട് അതേടെ എനിക്ക് ഇതൊക്കെ കഴിഞ്ഞിട്ട് ഞാനും വന്നേന്ന് പറഞ്ഞു. I've seen men of God whom God has called, you know, they have gone through a lot, but they know how to stand their ground. Well, each man of God does it in a different way. Are you with me? The third reason why he attacks you is because your success is a threat. People want you to fall. People don't want you to succeed. Because anytime you succeed in anything that you do, it will make the other person to feel diminished in value. You work hard, you have a crop, you have a land. Your success will remind them of their failure. Because people want you in their level. Are you with me? Your friends, a bunch of them, you're sitting there together smoking cigarette and drinking and, you know, just watching all the movies one after the other, no problem. Suddenly one of them says, listen, hey guys, I can't join up with you here. I've got to go for prayer. I've got to study the word. I got to follow Jesus. I want to, you know, pass, get through my university. I want to come up in life. I want to do what God has called me to do. And suddenly you will find the difference. The fourth reason the enemy attacks you is because your success encourages others to trust in God. The devil doesn't want anybody to have a farm there. And if one man is successful and he stood against the enemy and won, others will say, hey, we can also do that. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Glory unto the name of Jesus. Amen. When you're the first to do something in life, in your family maybe. Maybe you're the first guy in the family to get married. In that generation. Maybe you're the first guy to go to university. Maybe you're the first guy to ever step out to serve Jesus. Maybe you're the first guy to travel abroad. Or the first guy to have children. That's the time anybody who pioneers anything will come under intense attack. I remember when I stepped out for the Lord 20 years back, you know, the spirituality was not a fashion. Now it's quite a fashion to go to a nice born again church. At that time people would say all kinds of crazy stuff. They still do. You come under intense attack. Praise the Lord. But look at somebody and say, the bottom line is I have victory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. See, the victory that God wants to give you is not only for yourself, but also for others. You have an addiction in your life. You see the victory of the Lord, you defend your life and you start, you know, fighting against it, trust in the grace of God. You, no matter what you have to do, you do to get your victory over that. You break that pattern of addiction. Your children are also walking in that blessing. Are you with me? How many of you are understanding what I'm saying tonight? Is this helping somebody here tonight? Why? Sometimes I wonder, why do people not defend their portion, that which rightfully belongs to them? And I've understood there are four reasons for that also. One, because of discouragement. Discouragement because of the attacks. You are criticized, you people speak against you, you go through battles, and you're fighting a battle in some part of your life, and you look at somebody who is living next to you or, you know, working with you in the same company, they don't have a problem. And they don't even pray. They don't even go to church. They don't have a problem. You know why? Because everybody finds a different battle. The thing that you are struggling with or fighting might not be what they are fighting. Just because somebody else is not fighting in the area that you are challenged doesn't mean somebody else doesn't have a problem. They got a different battle. They got a different, you know, thing to be, you know, fighting with or fighting against. It looks like sometimes you get discouraged because everything in your life you got to fight for. Have you seen that? Sometimes I've asked the Lord, Lord, why is it that everything I have to fight for? Sometimes your health. And suddenly you look at somebody who is smoking all the time, drinking all the time, eating all the fatty food, they don't have a single health problem. But everything in life is a battle for you. So you get discouraged. Look at somebody and say, don't get discouraged. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because everybody is fighting some battle. Their battle you do not know. People are good with pretenses. Are you with me? I've realized one thing. People can pretend. They can look very happy when they're miserable outside. Hi, brother. And you say, oh my God, they don't even carry the Bible. They don't even worship the Lord. Looks like they got no problem. And here you are supposed to be knowing the joy of the Lord is your strength. God is for you and all that. And you got a face that will make the, you know, I mean, anybody cry? What's happening? They don't have a problem. But don't get discouraged. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Amen. The number two reason why people don't defend their portion is because of diverted focus and attention. Because they pursue different things. They're diverted or divided in their focus and attention. You know, sometimes, you know, as a preacher of the gospel, sometimes, you know, coming and preaching to the same congregation for 20 years can be very boring. Not because you guys are boring, but what I'm saying is, you're coming every, and preaching to the same crowd week after week after week. You say, oh boy. You want to just do something different. And you look at another minister who is traveling through the nations and preaching in one city today and preaching in another city tomorrow. And boom. I say, ah. But that's their calling. Are you with me? That's not your calling. Sometimes in your marriage, you can get bored. The same home, the same furniture, the same husband. The same bed, I won't go further. And you want to look for excitement. But you got to understand what God has blessed you with. The grass is always greener on the other side. You got to learn to not get diverted focus and attention in your life. You got to fight for what God has given you. Are you with me? When you lose the excitement, once a pastor told me, you know, he said, hey, I preach in the church and nobody comes. He said, but the moment I say that you're coming, or any other guest preacher is coming, the entire church is there, and I feel so discouraged. Sometimes the church that you go to, after years, you can take things for granted, and you can say, hey, listen, same seat, same people, hi, hello, praise the Lord, okay, yeah. They never change. You never change. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. But you gotta keep your focus. That's where God's planted you, placed you. Say, listen, that's where I'm going to be. I'm gonna defend that which God has given me. Praise the Lord. Amen. The third reason why people don't defend their portion is a diminished passion and diminished interest. You begin to take things for granted. And as a preacher, as a pastor, I can come and I can take things for granted, you know. Oh boy, there's a congregation that loves me. There are people who like me. They'll be there. I can come and say anything and they listen. I can take it for granted. I can come here unprepared, not in prayer. Been preaching for 20 years. Got a whole set of sermons up there. You can just take one, warm it up, and come and preach. But I said, Lord, no, let me never, ever do that. My associate pastors, no, people who stay with me, no. I would be on my room crying before God, praying with the Lord, you know, praying in tongues, preparing the best way that I can, because I don't want to have a diminished passion. I want to serve Jesus till the end of my life with all the life and energy that He's given me. I don't want to ever come taking it for granted. And sometimes I tell the ministers who minister with me, whether it be the worship team or intercessors or ushers or people, you know, take it for granted. To put a chair there. Okay, boy, sit there, stand. Okay, when is the service going to get over? Okay, finish, go. Boy, you are not valuing that which God has given you. You are not defending your portion. The fourth reason. You disdain your calling and your gifts. You compare yourself with somebody else. Sometimes, you know, people look at somebody else's business and they despise their own small beginnings. Sometimes you despise the one that God has given you. You don't value your husband. Every other husband, every other man you meet is a nice man. You don't value your wife. Every other girl is pretty and nice and good and You don't value your children. Let me tell you, some of you don't value your pastor. Don't raise your hands. As bad as it gets in your life, it is what you have. Are you with me? If you have a child who is not the way that you want to, and you're comparing it with some other child who is living down the neighborhood, it's not right. It's not good. You got to value the child that God gave you. You got to value the marriage that God gave you. Then only God can bless it further. Then only a healing can take place. Then only romance can return. Then only the life of God can flow through. But unless you defend that which God has given you, how can God do something there? How many of you are understanding what I'm saying? What you have in your life, maybe a job, maybe a work, maybe a relationship that God has put through into your life, do you value it? Do you keep it? Do you nurture it? Do you defend it? You're always looking for something outside, somebody else's God, and you're eternally miserable, frustrated, upset. You got to learn to defend that which God has given you. Praise the Lord. Is this helping somebody tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Look at that scripture one more time. I say three more things and then I close with that. 2 Samuel 23, 11 and 12. Can you read that one more time for me, please?
And after him was Shammah, a son of Agee, the Hararite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines, but he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And the Lord brought a great. The first thing is that who fought? This man fought. Who defended? This man defended. But who got the glory? The Lord got the glory. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Who fought? This man Shema fought. Who defended? He defended. But who got the victory? The Lord got the victory. When you defend, when you take ownership of that challenge that you have, and when you defend in prayer, the Lord will fight the battle for you and He will get the glory. Are you with me? And His name will be glorified. Whether it be in your business, marriage, or church. This man, first he positioned himself in the middle of the field. What does that mean? Acknowledge your inheritance. This is mine. This is my blessing. Your marriage, your children, your business, it's not somebody else's problem. Are you with me? Don't blame it on somebody else. You got to take ownership of it. You do business, you get into a mess. Everybody leaves you. Nobody's there by your side. One after the other, problems come. Don't blame somebody else. Take ownership. Stand and say, this is mine. With the little that I have, I'm going to defend it. And God will give me the victory. You got a problem of health in your body? Don't say, the doctor didn't treat me well. That doctor was not good. That hospital was not good. My parents didn't give me the right diet. Nobody told this to me before. And feel eternally miserable. But take ownership of it. And say, this body is mine. God has given it to me. And so the healing is also mine. So in the name of Jesus, I'm going to defend that which God has given me. And then God will fight for you. You have to accept personal responsibility. You got a marriage problem? Don't blame it on somebody else. You got an addiction dealing with? Don't say, oh my God, I hope this person attends the crusade and comes for the church meeting and gets saved. No. You take ownership of it. Are you with me? Because it is your field. It is your home. It is your marriage. It is your destiny. It is your future. It is your ministry. It is your church. You got to take ownership of it. In other words, it's your fight. What happens to most people is that they don't want to acknowledge their problem. You know, they don't want to acknowledge or defend their portion. So they just go into a church where maybe the pastor will acknowledge it for them and, you know, fight for them and boom, boom, boom. The pastor will do it whether you ask or not. But you got to learn to say, this is my life. This is my future. This is my body. This is my ministry. This is my church. Don't relinquish your authority in life. Nobody can care for you like you do. Do you understand that? Nobody can care for your life like you do. Third thing is that he defended his ground. Defense is not the same as attack. Later on he attacked, but first he learned to protect. That's what defense is. Are you with me? He defended, the Bible says. He didn't attack. That which God has given you, you've got to learn to defend. He pushed the enemy backward. 1 Peter 5:8. The devil, your adversary, Satan, goes around looking whom he may devour. He's an adversary. But resist him in faith. Are you with me? And he'll flee from you. Resist him. Submit to God and resist him. He will flee from you. You defend by submitting to God and resisting. And no matter how many days it takes, but you got to say, listen, I'm not giving up my family. I'm not giving up my church. You know, there are times as a pastor, there are pastors whom I know who grew up their church. When the pressure comes too much upon them, their ministry, they don't want to go the extra mile of maybe, you know, they say, oh, I've been fighting. Nobody understands. Nobody's there. I've been praying. I've been fasting for the church. I've been helping people. Nobody's there. Then they want to just give up. And I tell them, don't. It is your church. People will come and go. It's what God has put into your hand. You stand and fight. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So this is the word tonight. Defend your portion. Amen. Let's close our eyes in prayer.